Wow. Well, let's have all the children come forward.
Yeah.
You're already here. Do you get bonus points being already here? Because I have a very difficult decision to make. Joel, can you go and get me the big, big present that's there, please? Okay. Oh, man. Oh, man. Come on then, shepherd face.
Shepherd.
I know, there's loads of shepherds, isn't there? Nicely, put that down for a second. Let's bring the three little presents out, first of all. Okay. They're too little, are they? Okay, do with the two then. Okay. Okay. Shh. Well, people who are yelling at me, selling like anything. That's very difficult to choose. My goodness me, this is a very difficult choice. I wish I'd asked someone else to make this choice. I really do. Right. I don't even know everyone's names. I know my name. That's a good start, isn't it? Right. This is the girl one, isn't it? I think this is going to have to go to Angel here, because she's even got a lamb with her. She's the only shepherd to have actually brought a sheep with her, so that's fantastic. So that's just beautiful. But the good news is, if you come on Sunday, all the children get a present on Sunday, okay? Then I don't have to make these difficult decisions. I think you're going to have to get this one. Here we go. There we go. That's for you. I like the way you style. And the last present, this is the present I think is actually coming the best. This is quite large. This is quite heavy. Maybe I should keep this myself. Maybe I should keep it. Possibly. Well, I think actually it's only because my favourite colour is red. And I think this should really go to Levi. Maybe not if he's picking his nose. But I should go to Levi. But the size of this present can only really go to somebody who's going to share it with their little sister. Do you know anyone who could do that? You haven't really convinced me there. You can. I sound convinced. Well, go on then. If the two of you take that, then there you go. Thank you so much. Everyone's put some excellent work in today. Some beautiful costumes. Some wonderful people. Let's go and take your seats now, children. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Danny, I want to do some notices as well. Yes. We also need to thank Anne. Anne can't be here because she's off to Ealing for the week. But there's a beautiful Mickey Mouse cake at the back. I know it's beautiful because Yara can't take her eyes off it for 1 minute. But Anne bought that cake for us just before she zoomed off to Ealing for the week. So thank you very much, Anne. But she's not here. But let's give her a round of applause anyway, even though she's not here. Wonderful. Right. There will be mince pies and mulled wine. If you don't like mince pies and mulled wine, we do have a variety of things we can have. But let me just go through a little bit of the calendar. Sunday the 23rd and 30th of December, we're still looking at recognising stuff. And we're going to talk about how to go from activity to progress. One of the things that happens this time of year is we get involved in lots and lots of activity, but sometimes it's like we're running on the spot. This is how to get activity to actually moving forward in our lives. I was also going to call it getting out of the slow lane, but some of you don't feel like you're in the slow lane. You're still not moving forward, but everything's pressured. So that's really going to help the next couple of weeks, especially at this time of year. Christmas Eve, 11 p.m. till midnight, we're going to have candles and prayers at Harmony House. There'll be a short word, short time of worship. It's just going to be a sort of a watch night service. And Christmas Day at 10 a.m., also at Harmony House. Bring your Christmas presents. If you don't open them till later, don't bring them. Don't open them especially just for us. But if the kids have got one or two open presents, we'll talk about presents and giving, and we'll have some great worship as well. That's going to be a great service. So that's our Christmas calendar, basically. And then next month, oh no, December 31st, that's right, yeah, we're on the right one, Danny. Sorry, it's me, I can't count. We're having a watch night celebration. Some people have already agreed to give some testimony. If you want to give a testimony that night, come and give me a call or text or email. Come and speak to me this evening at the end and say we've got slots. I'm just going to fill up the place with different time slots of people sharing how God's changed their lives. I'm going to preach. I've got a message and a half, I tell you. I'm really excited about what God's been showing me about next year. So that starts at 9 p.m. and it's going to go until 1 a.m. Okay, and that's going to be December 31st, and that's in Harmony House, okay? Happy New Year. Sunday's in January. We're going to start the new year with a bang. I'm going to start doing a couple of weeks, a two-week series called How to Change Your Life with Minimum Effort. Lots of people want to change their life. Most people don't want to put the effort in, so they decide to do it with minimum effort. There's still some effort. You can't change your life with no effort, but you don't have to put in as much effort as you think. So that's going to be January, just a little bit of a...
The
church. You're going to ban the whole
church. I'm going to blow that church. Boom! Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's basically the notice says, do you want to put one of those nice little Christmas pictures up again? That would be great, and we can have that in the background while we preach. Have you got your Bible with you? Thanks for coming tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 2. I'd written a beautiful evangelistic message for tonight.
Yeah.
And about 11 o'clock in the morning, I'll tell you, today has been like so much going on trying to get things ready. It's been unbelievable. But God said, I don't want you to preach that message, I want you to preach a different message. Like, Lord, now's not the time to be talking to me about changing the message. But he laid some things on my heart for, really for us as a church, as Tree of Life Church, and where we're going to go and what we're going to do. And I just want you to have a look at Luke chapter 2 here. It's just after the angels have visited the shepherds. Verse 15, Luke 2 and verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord's made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. You see, when the angels told them Jesus has been born, something amazing's happened, they didn't just shrug their shoulders and go, oh well. They put the effort and energy and moved to get themselves to where Jesus was. That's just a thought. That's a first thought. And they made with haste. They did it quickly. They didn't dilly-dally. They didn't waste any time. They immediately got themselves to where Jesus was. You know, so many people, when I'm older, I'll go for Jesus. Later on in my life, when my children are a bit older, when this has happened, No, if you know where Jesus is, if you know what God wants you to do, if you've heard a message from God, whether it's from an angel standing before you, or it's a scripture you've read, or a sermon where God's spoken to you, or God's just spoken to you with a still small voice, don't wait. Go with great haste and get yourself to where Jesus is. Get yourself to what God told you to do. And when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And those who heard what they had heard wondered at the things the shepherds told them. But Mary kept the things in her heart and pondered them. And the shepherds came back and glorified and praised God for everything they had heard and seen as they were told. You see, when you encounter Jesus, there has to be a response. And as a church, as Tree of Life Church, we have encountered Jesus. We have understood the complete work. We've understood he's paid the price. He became sin so we could be righteous. He was made sick so we could be healed. He was made poor so we could be rich. He endured the shame of the cross so we could partake of his glory. I mean, we understand what he's done. But unfortunately, what often happens is we have a mental understanding of what Jesus has done, but it doesn't change us because we don't respond. And today I just want to say there needs to be a response to the truth. Do you know that the truth doesn't set you free? And the Bible says the truth sets you free. No, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Every hotel room in this country has a Bible. But people go and spend the night in the hotel room and watch all sorts of dirty films and do all sorts of ungodly things, and the Bible's right next to their bed the whole time, right next 6 inches away from their head the whole time. But they don't know it. It was there, but they didn't respond to it. And sometimes we can get very complacent. Jesus lives inside us, but we need to make a response. We need to get out of the slow lane into the fast lane. We need to make a response to what God's showing us. And there's four responses here I just want to talk about. You see, the first response is this: the shepherds made known what they had seen. And we've got too many Christians in the body of Christ, they've never ever shared what they've seen. They've seen healing miracles, but they've never told anyone. They've seen lives completely changed. They've got the most awesome news in the world, but they've never mentioned it to someone. We need to be people who let other people know. We know the healer. We know the Redeemer. We know there's a friend. We know there's a comforter. And when we don't tell someone at work because, oh, they might get upset with me. Or if the boss gets upset with me. Well, you see, it depends what your priorities are. But if we've encountered the living God, if we've encountered the God of the universe, you see, the world is sick, and we have the cure. You know, imagine if you had the cure for cancer, and you kept it to yourself. You'd be seen as a monster. We have got the cure to sin. We understand what can set someone free from selfishness, from sickness, from poverty, from self-obsession, from shame and frustration and rejection and loneliness. And we need to start sharing the message. The shepherds went out and told everyone they met. And you think that was hard? They were shepherds. They were the scumbags of the universe. You know, we watch these little shepherd programs on the TV. For us in the Western world, most people are quite happy with the shepherd lifestyle. You know, we watch the John Craven on the telly, and there's a shepherd, and we all think that'd be quite a nice change. You know, I wouldn't have to get on the tube every day, and I wouldn't have to deal with human beings, and I wouldn't have to do this. I'd just sit there with my dog and the sheep and the field. That'd be lovely. And we idolize that lifestyle. But you need to realize that in Israel, 2,000 years ago, shepherds were basically ex-criminals. And that was the only job they could get. Nobody took the word of a shepherd. Nobody trusted the shepherds. Nobody listened to the shepherds. Nobody cared about the shepherds. But the shepherds had seen Jesus. And how could they keep that quiet? And you've seen Jesus. Don't keep it quiet. And this is the reason why we often keep it quiet, because we don't do what they did. Look at verse 18. It says, the shepherds, everyone who heard what the shepherds said, wondered at the news. What's happened is the reason we're not telling the world is because we've lost the sense of wonder. We've become blasé about the greatest story ever told. It's time we got the wonder back. This is the most amazing thing that's ever happened. God himself became a human being. God himself became the Word, became flesh, and lived among us. This is the most amazing, phenomenal thing that ever happened. I am not a pet person. I don't like animals that much. We have had, in our lifetime as parents, as a family, we've had a whole multitude of pets. And if Amanda had a way, we'd have four times that many. Okay? If I had my way, there'd be no pets in the house. I'm not a pet person. However, I will admit, and don't tell anyone, I quite like our guinea pig. And the guinea pig, for the last year, since we've had the guinea pig, has been subtly training me. He's been training me in the way I should go. He's got me sussed. Because basically what happens is now, every time I open the fridge door, he squeaks. He's got it sussed. He's got it down to a fine art. So I open the fridge door, and often the kids are at school, Amanda's at work, and I'm in the house alone doing a bit of studying, doing a bit of sermon preparation, sending off some emails, because I normally work from home. And I'm sitting there in the house, and I think, you know what I fancy a yogurt. So I go to the fridge, and I go, because he knows in that fridge is carrots and lettuce and all sorts of good things. So every time, I go, here you go, here you go, there you go. And I'm getting on quite well with that guinea pig. I like that guinea pig. That guinea pig is my friend now. But I will tell you this. You will never, if you had the power, if you were a wizard or something, and you had the power to turn me into a guinea pig, I would absolutely refuse to become a guinea pig. I like being human. I like being able to talk. I like wearing clothes. I like being able to drive. I like earning money. I would never, ever bring myself down to the level of guinea pig. But God brought himself down to the level of human. The all-knowing, all-seeing, omnipresent, all-wise God put himself in a body where he got tired and ratty and tempted. Do you know God had never been tempted ever until he became a human? And then he was tempted with every single temptation. How awful must that be? That was just horrific. But why did he do that? He did that because he loves you so much. He did that because he cares for you so much. We need to get some of the wonder back into the gospel. We need to get some of the wow back into our walk with God. It's more than just a series of truths and facts. It is a wondrous thing that somebody would love you so much. They became what you are so they could make you what they are. That's awesome. That's just awesome. That's just amazing. You know, but we realize that God became human. It's even more amazing than that. Jesus, the God who became flesh, became sin on the cross. God became sin. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. And now, it's even more amazing than that, now the only way into the kingdom, the only way to be right with God, the only way to impress God, it isn't by the laws, and it isn't by striving, it isn't by trying, it isn't by begging, it's just by believing. This is the most amazing story, and it's all true. It's awesome. It's amazing. And we need to have a bit more wow to our Christianity. We need to have a bit more of a spark. So some of the things we're going to do in January and February, and as we move in through this year, we're going to be working on just regaining back to the wonder of knowing God. The wonder of what it is to be a Christian. Unfortunately, we've made knowing God so clinical and so cynical and so sterile. And that's what we've got. We've got, you know, bland vicars. Let me let you into a secret. I can't stand that kind of bland, grey, you know. It's like the people who go to the church, they go and pick up their new vicar from the train station. And they go up and they go, you must be our new vicar. No, not me, I've just got a stomach ache. Because that's the vicar's face. You know, it's over. You know. We need to get the life back into what God has got for us. We need to make church the most exciting, dynamic, fun place on planet Earth. We need to take the gospel and share it so simply and so wonderfully. Everybody has a good time. Everybody, you know, one of the greatest, I had a lovely email this week from one of the couples who comes to the Guildford Church. And they just said, we want to encourage you and bless you. And part of what they said in this was basically that their daughter, she said she's never been able to sit for a message in her life. But she can sit and listen. And she's only a young girl. But why? Because the message is simple. And because there's enthusiasm and passion about it. We need to have enthusiasm and passion about what God's done for us. And people listen to you. People at work, people around you, people on the streets will listen to you if you're genuinely enthusiastic about it. I listened to a guy, this has also happened in Guildford, Andrew and Sarah, I'll tell you, the hall we're in, there's normally some strange club on in the other hall every time we go. And it's always exciting to me what they're doing in the other club. Oh, we're doing this kind of dance, we're doing this. One week we went, as when we started off, the Saturday night, the first time we did the crusade, there was a model railway club in there. And the guy started telling me about model railways and train engines, and he was at this, we're this kind of gauge track. We're not this kind. No, that's their, well, they're the evil model train people. This is the right way. This is the orthodox way to do it. But I tell you what, I listened to him talk about model trains for about 15 minutes, not because I give a feather or a fig about trains, but because he was so enthusiastic about it, he carried me along in his excitement about these things. If you've got that excitement about the gospel, you carry people along, people will listen, people will get excited. We need to get that wonder back in. If what you're telling people doesn't make people wonder, you're not telling them good news. If you stand outside the pub and someone comes out of the pub, you need to change! They know that. Dealing with a situation at the moment, a couple, they're living in the same house, they're both Christians, they've got children together, they're living together, they're not married. And I was around their house the other day, and we were talking about different things, and I was helping them deal with different situations. And they said, Pastor, are you not going to give us a lecture and tell us to get married? I said, do you know you're not married? Yeah. I said, do you know you need to get married? Yeah. I said, then what can I add to this discussion? What can I do? What can I add to that conversation? You know what you need to do. I said, do you need any help doing it? No, we're fine, you know, blah, 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 we can do this and we're going to do this. I said, fine, there we go then. Let's talk about the stuff I can actually enlighten you and give you information on. You know, but we've reduced Christianity to do this and don't do this and do this. You know what, you can, when I was a youth pastor, and it winds me up, youth ministry, a lot of youth ministry really gets on my nerves. Because it's all about the don'ts. I once went to a youth conference, I'm just careful of all the children around here, and they did this whole thing on sexually transmitted diseases and all the pictures. It was just gory. And I said to the pastor afterwards, he never mentioned Christ once in the whole message. I said, what's going to happen when doctors find a cure for all of them? I said, your talk's over, mate. I said, you need to mention a love for Christ. We need to have our young people so busy living for Christ, they don't even have time to do all the negative stuff. But how I used to handle it, whenever I asked to speak at these conferences, I'd say, I want you all to meet my mate Steve. Steve is the best Christian in the world. Steve has never sworn in his life. Steve has never had a lustful thought. Steve's never lost his temper. Steve has never gone out and got drunk. Steve has never disobeyed his parents. And after all that, everyone's waiting. And I go out and bring in a mannequin's dummy. I say, this is Steve. This is the best Christian in the world. But that's how so many people define Christians. Now, the best Christian in the world is some mannequin's dummy. Has never told anyone about Christ, never loved anyone, never hugged anyone, never helped anyone, never encouraged anyone, never lifted somebody out of their pit and given them hope. We need to become real. We need a sense of wonder and awe about what Jesus has done. That's contagious. And then we've got Mary. Because the next verse says, and Mary held these things in her heart and pondered them. We need to do some thinking. Sometimes charismatics can be the dumbest people on planet Earth because they never stop and think about what they're saying or doing. I had a lovely email today. I'll tell you what, it's been a weird week for lovely emails. I had an email today, dear pastor who knows nothing. That's how it started. I thought, this is going to be good. I basically said, I've been listening to some of your messages and I notice you never teach on demons. And the kinds of demons, and the list of demons, and the list of demons. Well, we're going to take the time to teach you about demons, and we're going to send you all these articles about demons, and we're going to... I really don't give two hoots. Here's what I know about demons. They're all beaten. Jesus beat them all. There you go. That's it. If one manifests in the room in front of me, I know how to deal with it. Not because I know about demons, but because I know about Jesus. You know, but we become demon-obsessed. We just don't think things through. You know, we read the Bible and we read that Jesus beat all the demons. And then we go and we say, right, let's talk about generational curses. No, there's no more curses. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Use your brain. Do some pondering. Think some things through. When you read the scriptures and they don't seem to make sense, do some thinking. Do some pondering. We need to start thinking about what the Word of God says. We need to use our heads slightly more than what we do. And you know, it's hard at Christmas time. Because we stuff ourselves so full of food, we don't want to think. And then we sit in front of the telly. A few glasses of wine, and that's it. Your brain is off for the next day. You need to make sure that you set aside some time this Christmas and think about what happened. And think about what was going on. And think about what Jesus did. Because when you're in a messy situation, you need more than an emotional high. And that's why I'm committing myself next year. We're not going to be preaching emotional high messages. Ooh, rah, rah. We're going to be teaching the truth, getting your mind renewed and getting you to think these things through so that you can be everything God's called you to be. And for a large part of next year, what's going to happen in the living churches is going to be further reflection on the messages we hear on Sunday. Because we need to think these things through. And we need to stop and pause and apply them to our lives. Spurgeon said something amazing. He said, I'd rather get a 6-inch nail and hammer it into somebody than get 1,000 drawing pins and pin them in you. And that's why I just feel God's been speaking to me. It's time to get some things and say, right, this is the point. This is how it works. This is how to understand the kingdom. And just nail some stuff into us so we understand the gospel, so we understand grace, so we understand what God's got for us. You know, we're going to have this Heal the Nations conference. It's not going to be a conference of screaming, shouting, raving, and swinging off the chandeliers. It's going to be a time to think. It's going to be a time to consider and think about what God has done in your life and how to appropriate that and enjoy that. And that's what we need to do. We need to be ponderers. And finally, what happened was the shepherds went back and it says they glorified and praised God. We need to be people who glorify God. We need to be people who praise God. When you realize that God loves you more than any human's ever loved you, more than it's possible for anyone else to love you, we need to start praising Him. We need to start thanking Him. We need to start getting excited. God became human. That's what we're talking about at Christmas. I remember reading a story about a little girl, and there was a thunderstorm going on outside the house, and so she ran to her parents' bedroom. Dad, I'm scared. Oh, don't be scared, darling. God loves you. God's with you. Get back to bed. So she goes back into her room. A few minutes later, thunder, lightning. She runs back in. Dad, I'm scared. I'm scared. God is with you. Go back to your room. God's there. You're not scared. God's with you. You don't have to be afraid. She goes back to her room. Lightning. She runs back in. And Daddy goes, God is with you. She goes, I know God's with me. But I need somebody with skin and bones right now. God is with you. But here's the good news. God became someone with skin and bones. He became human so he could understand what it is to be tempted the way you're tempted, to be weak the way you're weak, to get frustrated the way you get frustrated. He understands. That's awesome. You see, a few months ago, I was sitting at the dining room table on my laptop, doing my stuff, and Lydia's having breakfast. And she says, Dad, I love you. And me being the wonderful dad I am went, that's nice. And she had breakfast a bit more. She said, Dad, I love you. Oh, thanks, darling. Eat breakfast, come on. So she got off the chair. She climbed onto me, sat between me and the laptop, gave me a massive hug, and said, Dad, I love you, but we needed to do something about it. God loves you, but it's time we did something about it. It's time we just stopped going, oh yeah, thanks God, that's great. It's time we put the awe back into awesome. It's time we realize what God's done and started loving what God's done. It's time we started pondering about what God's done, started thinking about it, started putting our brain into gear. And it's time we praise God and take the time this week, this year. We've only got a few days left till the end of this year. And it's time we honored God and praised God. Not to make him love us, he loves us. But because when you praise him and exalt him, that's when your chains fall off. That's when prison doors open for you. That's when your life changes. Not because God loves you anymore when you do that, but because you realize it when you do that. Praise is like, you know, believing God, confession, declarations, all that stuff. It's like a rifle, deals with your problems. When you start praising, that's like a cannon. It just smashes away the problems. You know, God is good. Our God is an awesome God. If my God is for me, who can be against me? And it's time we lifted up his voice this Christmas because he's done so much for us. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Selah. Amen? Let's stand up. Let's just honor God. Are we going to sing our Nguna song? Father, we want to thank you that we can call you Father. That you're not just Lord and God, but you're our Father. Because you gave up your son. You sowed your son so you could reap a harvest of many sons in glory. And we consider it an honor and a privilege to be one of those sons. And Father, right now, give us a fresh revelation of our sonship, of what it means to be human, of what it means to be redeemed, of what it means to be loved and adored by you. Father, I pray for everyone in this place. That every word I said would just lift them and help them be everything they can be this Christmas, this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're just going to sing one more song and then we've got mince.